This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. If you're looking to spice up your game day grub, reach for the original Louisiana brand hot sauce, the official hot sauce of the Texas Rangers. The original Louisiana brand hot sauce. Flavor favors the bold. That is also who brings to you Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, guys. How's it going there?
We're doing well. I saw what you said last night, obviously, about it's too early to panic, and that made a lot of sense to me when it comes to the bullpen. I'm curious, is it panic if you move Leclerc not always in the ninth inning role? Like, is he going to stay there, or do you think moving him is a reasonable response because of the last few games, or does that count as panic?
Well, I think that's a fair question, sure. Mike Maddox and I are just sitting here talking. As we were waiting for your call, I didn't know if my phone was on airplane mode. Had no idea how airplane mode. That's why it was going to voicemail. So I apologize for that. But yeah, these are things we're talking about now. Light and load on him until he gets his good command back, and it's not quite there. So it's a week in the season, but at the same time, sometimes you have to adjust. Sooner than you anticipate during the course of a season. So we're talking about this, but and I'll just give you a situation. I mean, last night we talked about, okay, Nate's got first and third. He's getting up there, two outs. We want to cover him, take care of him. Well, it's hard not to bring in one of your guys throwing well, who we brought in, Robertson versus Leclerc, because the game's on the line there. So this is going to be up to us to find the right pocket, so to speak, and in the right situation. It may be in a blowout game to where he can go out there and work on some stuff and not have every pitch on the line. So these are things we're talking about now.
When you talked about Leclerc's control, I'm curious, over the years, I'm sure the answer can be both, but with all the pitchers you've dealt with, when someone struggles with control, do you feel like it's usually a physical thing? Is it more likely to be a mental aspect that's leading to that?
I think both. I do. I think that's what you look at. Confidence is so important to a pitcher. With confidence comes conviction on the pitch that you're throwing. And right now, even though we just won a world championship, these guys are human. They want to have success now. And so that's what we're looking at, seeing if we can find something. You look at his velocity, it's 94, 95. Yeah, last year, probably just a tick higher than that. But that'll work if he's getting ball where he's trying to throw it, and that's not happening right now consistently. He'll have a hitter where he just dominates something, and then the next hitter, he's kind of all over a little bit. And so, anyway, that's our job as coaches to help make these guys better.
Marcus Semien, I feel like we're going to see him try to play 162, every chance he gets to go out there and be out there. But I am kind of, you have the ability to kind of move a little bit with Corey Seager, have him have a couple off days, and your outfield, the depth you have there, you have some abilities to juggle that just a little bit. And does that make it a more of a luxury or more complicated when you have these opportunities to move guys around and give guys some rest? And then also you have these injuries pop up where you're like, well, now we got to add this guy in.
Well, I look at it as a luxury. I do. It's going to enable to keep these guys fresh. I mean, we're about 10 days in the season, whatever, and 11 maybe. It's nice to, to have the ability to give guys days off and feel like you're putting a really good competitive team that can win out there. And last night, for example, I mean, you look at our infield, really had one guy out there that started on our team last year, but mm-hmm. They played well. Smitty had a heck of a game. They kind of got unnoticed. First time up, left-hander out there, drives in Marcus. Next time, perfect bunt. set up first and second, a great rally. So it's nice to have, you know, the depth that we have now. It's going to just make us stronger. We just need to, you know, stay away from any more injuries. I am going to give Langford a day to day. He's been in every game. Granted, most of them I've been DHing, but he's got a little tightness going on with the back. He'll be fine. And, you know, one day we think that will clear up. He'll be back out there.
Evan Carter hit the home run yesterday and had so many big at-bats last year. And you didn't see a lot of emotion from him last year in the playoffs. He just kept playing the game and just was, hey, it's baseball. I'm just playing baseball. Yesterday, a lot of emotion after that home run rounding first base. Was that just kind of a release of frustration or just an excitement of hitting a home run late in the game?
I think both. I think he's excited how he's swinging the bat right now. And, in fact, he hit a home run. But you look at, you know, the timing of that home run. They just tie the game, and we come back and take the lead with his home run. So, yeah, no doubt I think both of them came into play there. And but when we get off to a slow start like him, it's going to feel good to start having some results. And, of course, hit a home run and put you ahead late in the ball game.
And then I'm going to go back to, I know I was only 19 years old. I was out of high school, but I can remember just my first full season in the minor leagues going, holy crap, this everyday thing is a lot. Is that a little bit with, I know Langford, you know, went through college baseball, but you're playing Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I know it's very early in the season. Is his body just adjusting to, holy crap, we're playing every day?
I think a little bit. I think he got a taste of it last year, so it wasn't like, he hasn't done it, and he is DHing quite a bit. But with that said, he's probably working more as a TH. As you know, you're sitting there. Well, it's hard to, for a young guy, you know, with his energy after an at bat, just sit there. So what's he going to do? He's going to go to cage and hit. So he's probably, you know, getting more work in on a DH day versus even playing left field. So, and that's where he's going to have to, you know, learn how to, you know, handle it, control it, the workload. But he'll be getting his days off. He's a strong man, though, young man that I think he can handle it. But to your point, it's an adjustment. It is. And every day you're seeing a major league pitcher. So he's going to have his ups and downs. There's no getting around it. And it's going to be up to me to help protect him.
Obviously, already this season, and of course last season, I think y'all have done an excellent job with the next man up mentality. I was curious, what are you hoping to see from Davis Wenzel, and what do you think he could provide for the team?
Well, I'll start with defense. Yeah, that's what I look at probably as much as anything when we're bringing somebody up. I just think you got to have a good defender out there that's not going to hurt you. He's a plus defender. He can play third, short, second, first base. We're looking at him doing a nice job there. Now, he's going to provide some power. You know, he showed it last year in Round Rock, you know, with the 30 home runs, whatever. And, you know, he's got really good numbers against lefties. So it can be a platoon-type situation, maybe not completely, but pretty close to it, similar to what we had last night. That works. This kid's been impressive. The last two springs I've seen him, I just love the way he plays the game. He's got a nice clock. You know, I'm talking about game awareness in him that it works. So he's all-around good ball player.
He takes the roster spot of Justin Foscue, who also fought hard to get back to get with the big club, and then he has to go on the injured list. Does your heart kind of break for him in this situation?
Gosh, I was stunned that it happened. You know, it happened to swing before his base hit, and I had no idea until the next day. And I know he felt it. But he's probably hoping at the same time, well, I'm going to get up tomorrow. It's going to feel good. And it didn't. So, yeah, you feel for the guy. Yeah, he gets up. He gets a base hit. His first major league hit. He's starting the next day with the left-hander going. He's been told. And shows up, he can't play. And, you know, I'm sure his family's here. So that's a big blow. I mean, he's worked hard to get to this point. And I'm just amazed at the number of injuries, not just us, everybody's dealing with. A lot of these obliques, of course, the pitchers with the elbows. But, you know, calf injuries, I mean, it's just you're seeing it more and more in today's game.
Coach, I'm kind of curious about, we have a luxury of being able to watch the game as a fan, and watching Nate Eovaldi on the hill is just an absolute blast. The dude, he'll get into a jam and then he gets out of it, and we're like cheering for him like that. I know you cheer for these guys that way, but you also have a lot of things that you have to take into account during this thing, you know, while it's all going on. When was the last time, or do you still find yourself watching a game like a fan? Do you have those moments where you're feeling like, hey, I'm just kind of spectating here?
Oh, no doubt. I've said this. I appreciate the gifts and talents that these guys have. I mean, Nate, he is fun to watch. I love watching him. You know, his stuff, his command, his focus. He is just locked in out there. I mean, pitch to pitch. Our guys have learned so much about him. In fact, yesterday I saw him talking to Andrew Heaney. They're talking about pitching. He's pitching that day, and they're talking pitching and things. So, you know, he cares about his teammates, but really all of them. I mean, Dolly, of course, Seager, Marcus. I appreciate what, you know, what they can do. And I'm still a fan. I got a great seat to watch these guys. And it's last year, of course, you can't beat watching what happened then.
So Bradford takes the ball today. His fastball this year is averaging 90 miles an hour. But I was telling these guys, if there was no radar gun, let's just go way back in the day, Boach, when you played, there was no radar guns in the building. Nobody knew how hard anybody was throwing every pitch. The hitter's reaction to Bradford this year is 97 miles an hour. That's what I'm looking at, is the there's late reaction to his fastball. It's getting on hitters. Can you explain, from being a former catcher and a manager, on how Bradford's fastball is playing a lot better than, let's say, the 90 miles an hour the radar gun says?
Yeah, it does. And I'll put Dunning in that boat, too, because he's, you know, 90, but it plays more than that. And a couple of things come into play, extension that, you know, where you release it as far as to home plate. You know, some guys have a little longer extension. He's a big, tall guy, has that. But the biggest, I think, is deception. And, you know, he hides the ball well, and it, you know, comes out. They just don't pick it up as quick. And then you add, you know, they're conscious of that changeup, and now he's throwing more curveballs, but he elevates it well too. And so a high fastball, you know, it's always going to look a little quicker, and so does a good job of going up when he has to. So there's some variables involved with that. And, you know, sometimes you face a guy and throw 99-100. I've heard hitters go, man, it doesn't look that hard. So deception is such a big part of pitching. That's why you see a lot of guys doing a lot of turning and twisting, trying to get that to make it look quicker.
Boach, can you tell from a catcher's standpoint when a guy who is deceptive isn't as deceptive that day? And can you give them a point from behind the plate of, hey, your glove side's opening up a little bit early, or something that is causing the hitter to see the ball better from a catcher's standpoint?
Yeah, I think what you just said is probably the biggest one. You know, they're just opening up. And so, you know, the hitter can see the ball and everything, where a lot of guys will take the ball from behind them. And, you know, I mean, our Chris Young, I got to talk about him. I mean, CY was not someone that bowled his way through him, but, man, it played so much quicker because he came out from behind him, and he's a big guy. Big guys are usually long armor, so it's what they're kind of used to. But he was a short armor, and it just got on him. And I remember Pujols telling me, I just can't pick up the ball off of him. And so, you know, that's the biggest one, I think. It's just opening up, and then they can see the arm the whole time, where the ball's coming from. So, you know, they have the reference spot, so to speak, where to look every time.
And outstanding stuff, as always. Appreciate your time, and we look forward with catching up with you again next week.
All right, guys. Sorry about that mishap, but good talking with you.
No worries at all. There you go.
The best of us.
Texas Rangers world champion manager Bruce Bochy. So a couple different things to take out of that real quick.
You got to work on airplane mode.
That is true. That is true. Don't leave your phone in airplane mode. But Langford with the back tightness, it did sound like they were hoping just the one day off, but he described it as day to day. And then they're in the midst, him and Mike Maddox right now, are in the midst of having conversation about, as he said, quote, lightening the load on Leclerc, which...
What do you mean? What do you feel that load means? Because I think it means the amount of pressure, like the pressure
situation.
That's
what I think too, yes. Yeah. I think that means a different inning. I think like... he would come in a clean seventh.
It sounded like he actually gave a great example of, I don't want to put him in on first and third and two outs in the sixth inning with the tie game. Like, that's not lightening the load. Yeah. That's putting maybe more pressure on him because he's, as a closer, you're almost always coming in a clean inning situation. Mm-hmm. So he's like, so if we're going to lighten the load, I can't put him in. I can't have him warming up and then put him in a very close game with runners on base right now.
Okay, what about come in and get the last out or the last two outs? Is that a possibility?
With nobody on base?
Yeah, like, you know, I don't know.
I guess it would be no right
now. Like, I mean, usually you'd use the same guy.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, and I guess this is starting pitcher situation. He's met his max pitches. And you're just like, that's it for you right today. We appreciate it. But I guess that's few and far between.
I wish I could tell you I really know Oakland's lineup well, but I don't. But I could see what you're saying is maybe in the sixth inning, Bradford is facing a lefty to start off the inning. Like, he has this one guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're bringing in Leclerc. But the issue is this. What if it's a tie game and he gives up a double? And so there's a runner on second and nobody out. Do you want Leclerc coming in that situation right now?
I don't think I do.
Yeah.
I understand the necessities. But it was fascinating, too, because he's like, oh, yeah, me and Maddox are literally talking about that right now.
I guess you don't think about this, but it was a great point, is maybe Langford's working too hard being a DH, where he'd be out in the outfield getting ready to play defense
there.
Instead of like, I need to do something. I just swung a bat twice in my at bat, and now I have 30 minutes at least until I get another at bat. It might be 45 minutes till I get another at bat. Let's just go down and swing the bat another 50 times.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan, and I don't want to mess up your day. So coming up next is the C Block. So what do you mean?
Nope. Y'all said y'all would rather have Bochy for C Block than me, so I'm done.
You love Bruce Bochy.
I'm going to be honest.
Thumbs up.
And I would rather have Bochy on than C-Block.
Me too, yeah.
Wouldn't you rather have Bochy than, like, any segment on the show usually?
Except
for your memorabilia segment from just a minute ago? Yeah, I mean, know.
That was
except
really good.
Mike likes it.
Gridiron Gravy in March is huge.
God. There we go. Underneath the camera line. Coming up next.
I don't know what the Cowboys are not doing in free agency are
we'll
my
talk
favorite
golf.
Segment.
We'll talk golf in the next segment.
On the Fan.
Mavs are up by 18 points. We play early in the third. Right back at you. 30 points tonight for Luka. His seventh made three.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.
Go
the
eat
fan.
Another double cheeseburger, Grant.
Where?
Williams.
Both the Mavericks and Stars are victorious. Rangers lose to the A's. They will look to get it back going once again tonight. Now, a segment that's always a winner. It is the C Block starring Corey Majors.
I'm going to count what Reggie played as the comeback audio as his random bit of audio that has nothing to do with the segment.
Oh, I completely forgot about that tonight.
Don't worry about it. You did it.
Day.
That's 2 days in a row, bro. You just did it but it was all torn up. Like it wasn't anticipated the way that we just did it. Thank you, Reggie. Kevin, we're going to talk golf.
I like golf.
I do not like golf, but I like you. So I'm in.
I got three prop bets for you. That you could have some fun with, but it is the Masters. And Kevin, our friend Matt Pittman from Meat Church is cooking at the Masters this week. That's pretty awesome.
Oh.
Yeah, that is really cool.
By the way, Meat Church in Waxahachie in 2 weeks, maybe on the same day as the Brett Hull signing at Worth Collecting, they're going to be having a 10th anniversary extravaganza. So if you want
to
be in
we need to be in Waxahachie all day.
I feel like you do.
The whole city of Waxahachie needs to be there That's a really cool little downtown area. Like when we went down there for Worth Collective, whenever Wyatt Langford was there, I walked around. I was like, this place is dope, man. This is a fun little walk around.
Did you need to hear my Masters predictions? Is that what you're curious
Absolutely
about?
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay. That's
but if you want to.
Picked Scotty Scheffler to finish first.
He's a Highland Park guy.
Will Zalatoris.
That's your dream, is to live in Highland Park. That's what you've always said.
Not true. To finish second.
So Noah could go to Highland Park.
Xander. Say Shoffley.
Uh-huh.
To finish third. And the winning score will be a minus 10. I put 278, but now everyone's putting minus in front of theirs. I feel like to show me up. So I'll change.
You didn't say 10 under. That's the proper golf term.
Kevin, will there be a hole in one?
They're going to shoot a drop 10. That's right.
On the 16th hole.
Yes.
If you pick yes, minus 120.
Oh, so that's actually the favorite?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I thought I was going to make some cash.
So this is one that they say go ahead and bet on.
I like
it. If you want a little more risk, take the plus 140 odds. There will be two holes in one.
Ooh. Okay.
Bogey-free round and tournament?
No.
The pick is +250, Scotty Scheffler.
Oh, okay.
So you just brought him up.
That's 2.5 to 1 on
your
money.
Favorite to win.
All right.
Scotty Too Hotty Scheffler.
That's right. How many people remember that guy?
I do.
I clearly.
Will you find a napkin on the course?
If you're there, yes, 100%.
On TV.
Ooh, it's supposed to be windy that first day, right?
This is a real prop
yes.
bet.
No.
There's no way, because there's no way some human is watching every second of this just looking for a napkin. Like, we're paying you $100,000 to look for a napkin for four straight days.
Mike, on the third prop bet, I didn't know how to pronounce the guy's name, so I didn't want to do it, all right? To be honest, if we're going to be transparent here.
That means see-through.
Unlike the napkins. All right.
Sort of.
So let's move on to the next one, Kevin. 9 trends from the last decade to help pick this year's green jacket winner.
I already told you, Scotty Scheffler.
I know you did. I know. But we're going to go through this anyway as practice. Okay. Number one, what's your age again? It's been 38 years since a 46-year-old Jack Nicklaus donned his 6th green jacket and got his last of 18 majors. So that he was 46 when he got his last major.
Okay.
He became the oldest winner in tournament history with that win. And over the last 10 years, the average age of the winner has been a shade under 31.
Ooh.
Even with the champions, Dustin Johnson, 36, Sergio Garcia, 37, and Tiger Woods at 43. Since Johnson's win in 2020, the last three winners have all been under the age of 30. Ooh. So if you're going based on this, you've eliminated Fred Couples, Zach Johnson, Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods, Vijay Singh, Mike Weir, and
Scheffler's good.
Some other people.
I think any of those people are going to win.
All right. Maybe don't remember your first time. Only 3 players have ever won the Masters in their first attempts.
Okay.
Do you know those 3 players?
Whoever won the first Masters.
Oh, Gary
That's
Player.
One.
Horton Smith in the first Masters ever, correct?
Told you.
Smith.
Knocked one out of the park.
And
Tiger.
Tom Watson.
Gene Sarazen in 1935. And Fuzzy Zeller in 1979.
I've heard of that guy.
Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. His name's Fuzzy.
It's like Z-O-E.
A debutante has not won
what?
In 45 years.
I don't know.
There have been a number of close calls in recent history. Jordan Spieth, Will Zalatoris, with some other names. Eliminated are a whole bunch of people. So people who have, who experienced that. So there's a lot of people that you could just eliminate there, Kevin.
Was there a word you missed right there?
You're not going to tell me who those people are.
If you're being transparent.
Wyndham Clark, Ludwig Åberg, Akshay, that's the name I couldn't pronounce in the other one that I didn't want to do. So you guys, Austin Eckroat, Eric Cole, Denny McCarthy, Jake Knapp, Nick Dunlap. You want me to name all the rest of them?
Uh-huh.
Nope.
No. Christo Lamprecht, no. Neil Shipley, Jasper Stubbs, or maybe Jasper. Who
they
knows?
Got some names in there.
Do you think he put in one name that he just made up just to see if we were locked in?
I wouldn't know.
He didn't think that far
I wouldn't
ahead.
Know.
Or did I?
Whoa.
It's a steady climb. They say Augusta National is an acquired taste. much like Kevin does not like the taste of that. So it's kind of like salt, I guess. One may not understand the nuances.
Everybody likes salt. You have to have salt.
The first or second time.
Still had it after the fact.
Seven of the last 10 Masters champions had at least one top five finish in their Masters careers before donning the green jacket.
Like Zella Torres.
With all 10 previously collected a top 40 result. So what I'm looking here is Max Homa, Cameron Davis, Kurt Kitayama, Adrian Maronk, and Eric Van Ruyen. They're all out.
Okay.
Each green jacket winner since 2014 has notched a top 15 finish on the PGA Tour or DP World Tour in a stroke play event over the calendar year leading up to the Masters. Seven of those had already entered the winner's circle on the year. John Rahm, Scheffler, Johnson, Spieth. Eight had found a spot on the podium. We'll use that same top 15 cutoff point, Kevin. Ricky Fowler's out. Bubba Watson, see you later. Gary Woodland, along with other names.
Okay.
Major championship pedigree. There have been a number of first-time major winners who've broken through at Augusta, but none have come without some prior experience on a comparable stage. Eight of the 10 most recent Masters champions had at least a major runner-up result already in their name, with all 10 having tied for six finish or better.
Okay.
Four of the last 10 collected a runner-up finish within a major championship, while nine had a top 15 finish. So you got guys like Sam Burns, Ryan Fox, Adam Hadwin.
They're out.
Along with other names.
Uh-huh.
And just like that, 50 players and five have been eliminated, Kevin.
Let's get I wonder if they're going to play tomorrow.
Because of the rain?
I think.
Is it rainy in Augusta right now?
Well, usually the rain that happens here, for the most part, then ends up in Louisiana and then into Mississippi and then into Alabama and then into Georgia. So I believe they're supposed to have very high gusty winds tomorrow with the possibility of rain. So I'm assuming some of the stuff we've been seeing over the last few days could be what Augusta might be seeing.
Mike! Augusta, Georgia on Thursday. 19 mile per hour winds. 100% chance of precipitation.
Oh, dear.
Look at you! I know precipitation and where it heads. Most of the time I do.
What color is this rain?
Light green.
Light green.
It's been green earlier, but it's light green right now.
You need to reset that. No, if you don't,
if you know what Mike's talking about, his answer just now, you've been listening long enough. If you don't, you need you need to reach out to somebody that you know that's been listening for a while and ask. Okay?
We might be getting the flash flood warnings. The flash flood warnings that we have around our Metroplex, those are yellow, orange, and red colored rains.
That is in Ellis, Dallas, Rockwall, and Collin County.
So that's till what? Like
3:26.
3:30 now, thereabouts.
Oh, man. Four more minutes of flash flooding.
I mean, technically 3:37, if I'm being honest.
What? Wait.
He was one minute off.
You.
And
it's not like somebody said 3:26, which is what it was earlier.
There's no such thing as flash floods of light green rain unless it's like 40 days and 40 nights or something.
What color is it if there is no rain? Is it just clear?
Yeah, there's no color. The rain doesn't have a color if it's not there. It's not raining. You can't have a color on the radar.
Yeah, Reggie, by the way, if you're curious, he's replicating the news charts of how they have rain. It's not the rain itself is green. Yeah. It would be green on the news
weather chart. Oh, what about purple rain? Well, that's not rain. That's usually sleet.
I need ibuprofen so bad.
There were three other things, Kevin, that I needed to get to. Technical statistics that could get you there. Hitting the ball really far. How you are with your irons and your plan B solutions. Those eliminated lots of other.
What if they had to play in the rain? Just like play.
Be like that movie Caddyshack.
And then somebody gets struck by lightning.
You still finish it out.
Then they become that lightning character in Spider-Man, Jamie Foxx.
What was it? Electro?
Yeah.
He fell into.
You think that guy from Caddyshack turned into Jamie Foxx?
I think so. But maybe that's through electric eels. It wasn't through lightning.
Oh,
he
man.
Fell into an electric eel plant.
And the 469 just drove through some really hard rain. It really is bad out here. Saw two really bad wrecks.
What, you thought we were lying?
Yeah, we've been trying to tell you.
I talked to a police officer yesterday.
Good for you, bud.
Congrats.
What? About the rain?
About wrecks.
Okay.
And he said there are more wrecks. I had a theory. I forgot to do this, and Mike likes it this week.
Well,
I have a theory.
I'll do it tomorrow.
That I have to give you tomorrow. I'm going to keep you on the edge of your pants. Seat of your edge.
So, Kevin.
The edge of your seat.
To wrap it up, after all the.
Who the hell am I supposed to pick?
Either.
Scotty Too Hotty.
I got some names for you. Sergio Garcia.
The Scheffler.
Chris Kirk. Tony Finau.
Oh, the homie Finau winning?
I love Tony Finau. Justin Thomas. Hideki Matsuyama. Xander Schauffele. Or Scotty Scheffler.
Ooh, those are two of my top three.
There you go.
Check it out. This
based on math.
Yeah.
We were
this
able
is
to
one of the
that.
Four times every year that actually golfers golf against each other. They all split up and they start living it up and then they start PGAing it and they're all spread out and then they don't play much golf. And so literally now there's only four times. It'd be like if the Texas Rangers only played major leaguers four times a year, and they're like, the rest of the time we just randomly play people around the country, in the world. That's what's happened to golf. I thought LIV and PGA were coming together
they
as
need,
one.
No, they still have to come to a better
agreement. They didn't,
yeah.
So now you got Dustin Johnson being like, I don't need to play in this place. And then you have other people going, I don't want to play in this PGA Tour. I'm too tired. They don't pay enough money for me to go to Las Colinas or wherever the tournament is here now at the dumpster fire that they made a place, a course, right? It used to be a trash heap, and they made a new course over it. It's trashy. There's no trees there. And
why are you still talking?
Why'd you stop him?
I feel like you're...
Why are you still talking, Mike?
He's trying to get answers.
It's radio. You have to talk.
And we're not helping, Kevin. We're just staring at
him. You're just looking at me like I'm saying something smart, so I'm going to keep saying it.
Was that how you interpreted that look?
He's trying to give more details.
You interpreted that look incorrectly.
So that we will nod and acknowledge what he's saying.
Where they play one of these PGA things, didn't it used to be a trash fill, and now they put a golf course over it?
Trash fill. Coming up next... We'll chit chat.
What do you fill it with? You fill it with land or trash?
Fellas.
You're filling it with trash.
From the G-Bag Nation, right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Jonah Heim lights into it and drives it over the left field wall. Jonah Heim with a solo shot on the first pitch of the bottom of the second puts the Rangers back on top here, 2-1.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. The Rangers know that big wins come from bold plays. That's why the original Louisiana brand hot sauce is the official hot sauce of the Texas Rangers. Also brought you Bruce Bochy earlier. The original Louisiana brand hot sauce flavor favors the bold. Now it's time, courtesy of D&M Leasing, for our chit chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Peggy, we are rolling. How are you?
Outstanding. Doing very well. We talked about this at the very beginning of the show. You look back at last night and think the biggest deal is the Mavericks winning, clinching a spot in the real playoffs, the Stars winning, inching closer to the number one seed in the West, or the Rangers probably needing a new closer, which it did feel like Bochy didn't say that, but he did not say that when he was like, yeah, we're going to look to lighten the load.
Yeah, get him in some low leverage situations. A lot of things you should be looking into with Leclerc, which is just crazy because he's a World Series hero and one of my favorites. You know, that story's massive, though. I think I'm going to go with Mavs locking down the play in. I don't know how much home ice matters and has actually been a curse of recent times.
Yeah, the Stars have actually been really, and Ottinger have been really good on the road.
They have been. They've been great on the road. The President's Trophy is also something that you don't really want in the NHL.
Disagree.
Just ask Boston. Really? I mean, go back and look at that track record. Tampa Bay, when they won it, they get upset. Boston gets upset. That seems like no thank you. I'm cool with the Rangers getting that, and I'll just be the best team in the West.
You make a lot of good points, Zach. Here's my counterpoint. The Dallas Bring Stars it. Have won the President's Trophy twice in their history. First time they won it, Western Conference Finals. Second time they won the whole damn thing. So the Stars have a better track record with the President's Trophy than the rest of the NHL.
Okay. Did they win it when they went to the Cup Final the most recent time?
No, they didn't.
So I think you're okay here.
You have a very bright shirt on.
It's very bright. But it was free.
Okay.
I thought Eric and I were going to tag team this and wear the same shirt today, but he didn't fulfill his end of the bargain.
Oh, I can fulfill that at a moment's notice. I could snap my fingers and have that shirt on my body.
He has another free shirt on from another day.
What percentage of your wardrobe do you think is free?
Is that a wash shirt?
I would say, I'm not joking, Hagee. I would, over 50%.
That's a good approach.
Of shirts, right? People don't hand out free pants. You ever notice that?
Yeah, because I probably have
shirts.
I think I have like three times the amount of shirts that I do pants.
Yeah.
And so I've probably bought more of my, like, yeah, it's a lot of shirts.
People
that
need
are
to
free.
Bring pants up here.
But are you wearing pants that have like those Zubaz bail bonds on them or something?
Yeah, why not?
So somebody brings you pants, you're like, sounds good.
I mean, if they fit right?
Nobody has.
It's a huge question.
Somebody needs to get into this free pants game.
You talk to our Milo insulation guy.
Holy shirts and pants.
See if he's got some pants.
Ooh.
Did some fan swag pants.
Okay.
Maybe shorts. Maybe some Hoochie Daddy shorts.
Michael would definitely wear some shorts on you.
Never mind. I don't want to know the answer to this question. I don't want to know the answer to my follow-up question. Never mind.
Say hammer time on him.
Yeah, maybe get some
on
pillow
the front
pants.
Though, right? Not
MC Hammer. You know, he had his own pants.
Yes. No, I. I understand.
You're right over there.
Guys,
catch the ball, Cole Beasley.
Go Stars.
Kevin, right. we are watching a game that has captivated everybody that's walked into this room.
Is this
today.
2016? I'm assuming
2016. It is, yeah. It's Cowboys at Steelers. Cowboys are currently down 18-13. And
this is the game Tomlin kept going for two, right?
I believe so. He was chasing those points the entire game.
Yeah.
And then I think at the end it is the Zeke. He breaks one off. He does have a screen, I think, for like 80-something yards, too.
Yeah.
It's a pretty significant moment in Cowboys history. And, Kevin, I think that's where this discussion off-air has taken place, is this was a big turning point for Dak to become the quarterback of the Cowboys.
Was it this game and the Green Bay game that made it feel like that team was unstoppable?
Yes.
Yeah. I was like, it didn't matter if you fall behind. You'll be fine. You'll win.
I mean, they haven't won in Lambeau since. You go to Pittsburgh and win as a rookie. I don't think that was something that had really been done often in NFL history. And this was the game I think you had Witten and Dez both in that locker room that were Romo guys, and they became Dak guys. They said, look, this is his team now. And that's when Romo realized, all right, I got to make that speech.
The other thing, well, Kevin says it's a poem, but the
it
other
was
thing
a
too,
poem.
Though, you guys, you and Broadus and Woolchuck seem like y'all were salivating watching the offensive line create holes for Zeke.
I was
watching
Zeke run, which was really impressive, making the jump cuts.
God, he can move. Yeah, like 94, 2 years ago, 94, stuffing him in that hole, but he actually planted that right foot and moved in another direction.
Oh, no. What happened there?
Yeah, that was bad.
That was bad.
That was a breakdown in protection.
What happened there?
Oh, James Harrison happened, dude. That happened. I mean, sometimes
Tyron
James Harrison's just going to
get rid of Tyron Smith.
Lunch.
What are we doing there?
Yeah, I bet
we did
better.
We could have got so many draft picks for him a while back.
Dak's taken quite the handsome turn as well over the last 7 years compared to,
you think he's more handsome now?
Yeah. Okay. He was still kind of baby-faced. He was a touch, maybe. I don't know if it's still baby-fat at that age.
Watch Martin here. Martin gets a touch. Oh, gosh. Martin got beat bad.
Now he looks incredible.
You know what,
Dak was auto-penning everything.
Ozzie Guillen saying you don't pull fat. Maybe Dak getting in better shape, right? He wasn't hurt for a while. He had a good string of non-injuries. And all of a sudden, you start getting shredded here. The injuries happen.
Make Dan Dak Bailey. Fat again.
Wow.
It's like
bubble
wrap.
You need that body armor as a quarterback. You
insulation.
Do.
Body armor. Like Milo insulation.
How about my question, Broadus? Who wins more games next year? Buffalo Bills Josh Allen or Jacksonville Jaguar Josh Allen?
A Josh off?
Let's go with the Jacksonville one.
Okay.
I think the Jacksonville guy wins more games.
That's a shocker.
What?
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Because he's caping for his guy, Doug.
Yeah.
Makes constantly.
Sense. Constantly.
He loves texting.
But Josh
Doug.
Allen is your guy, right? Like the
oh,
quarterback.
No, I,
you
yeah.
love?
Yeah. I love Josh Allen, but I'm just going, I love Doug Peterson
who
more.
Who's Buffalo's number one receiver now?
Gabe something?
No, he's gone too.
Yeah, they don't have
to. I think it's Dalton.
That was Davis that they got rid of.
They're going to trade up with Dallas and get one, is what they're going to do.
They'll draft a guy in the first round. Yeah. I think right now, though, it might be like Khalil Shakir out of Boise State.
Shakir. Yeah, I think they're going to try. I think Buffalo clearly hunting receivers in this thing. then maybe you get maybe the guy will be there for him that they could trade with Dallas, and you can pick up that late three from them.
It's Vlad McConkey.
It's like Curtis Samuel. For those that were wondering.
Yeah, they did get Curtis Samuel.
Maybe Mac Hollins.
Want to say thank you to you guys.
Josh Allen's going to be running a lot.
Probably Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
The full Patriots.
Thank you guys for making this crosstalk significantly less dark than yesterday's crosstalk.
Because of the
eclipse. Wasn't hard.
What do you...
you guys see the dog at Stars practice?
Yes.
It's adorable, right? There's only one person in this room that would poop on that.
Mm-hmm. That dog was alive and everything. Mm.
It's raining like crazy out there. Turn around, don't
cats
ground.
And dogs.
Cats and dogs. If you will. Yeah. Yeah. What do you guys got coming up on the program?
Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking, yes. Including Tim Cato from The Athletic talking Mavs at 4 o'clock.
Goose talk.
Was the dog at remember the Kelvin Stars Cato? Practice? Was Kirk Herbstreit there or something?
Yes. Yeah,
trailblazer.
I do remember Goose Kelvin Cato. Wasn't a bad big shot blocker. Don't know if he'd make it in today's game. Maybe
you
not
too?
Enough. Yeah. Who, what, Kelvin
you
Cato?
Two?
What?
We're still talking.
Pure
We're
Gold
trying
as
to get
always.
You into
thanks
your show.
Thanks it's been raining a lot. Turn around, don't drown.
Turn the mic on.
Why would you have a
mic?
Seager bats.
Hey, tomorrow we'll be at the ballpark. If you got other stuff going on, I get it.
Give me those Emmett cleats.
If you want to come see us, we'll be there 10-1 leading you into Rangers right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say edge of your pants, Kevin.
I will not.